The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Some neighbors were walking down the sidewalk yesterday, and she said that she's now working at home, and her office is her bathroom.
Oh.
Because her husband's working at home, too, and
yeah.
They got the kids.
Yep.
So she literally has set up in the master bath.
Wow.
And her husband said, Riley, that she's got a very plush carpet in her, in her new office.
Nice window. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. It's a corner office.
It makes it tough if you're a routine person.
I have struggled, really struggled almost to the point where I'm like, is there something spiritually going on here? Because the disruption of my routine, I realize how married I am to the routine.
I get it.
And without it, I feel almost incapacitated. Like I really had to sit down and just kind of collect myself because I don't know what to do, how to get things done without that routine. I hope that makes sense.
It does, because I think it's a control thing. And I don't think you're a controlling person. I just mean, like, for a lot of us, that's the last thing. It's like, at least I can control this.
Yeah.
And if that gets taken away from you, it's very frustrating.
I have really, really struggled.
Very hard. Well, anyway, if you're that way, we get it too. This is all a learning thing. The struggle with all this too is that struggling a lot of times means we're growing. One of the many things that's so wild about what we're going through right now is if you think about the fact a lot of people are going to be busier than ever, and mm-hmm. I understand that, and so I'm sympathetic to that. A lot of people are having to stop down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really weird too.
Yeah.
But there is this idea of Sabbath, like in the Bible, and it's rest. And if we don't do it, sometimes we have to. It's really weird when it happens. But even the land in the Bible, like, needs to rest. You're working it, it needs to rest. Something a friend showed me yesterday in China, because of a lot of the shutdowns that are going on, the pollution is disappearing.
Hmm.
Because people aren't driving everywhere. It's not going on like normally in Beijing, for instance. And it's just kind of weird. This forced rest allows some things to breathe a little bit again. And obviously, I'm not saying that this is all a good thing. I'm not. But there is something to that where it can recalibrate some things. I hope that makes sense. Hope it's okay if I ask this on the air. Is your mom taking this seriously? Senior citizen mom?
Not as seriously as I would like her to take it.
Okay.
To be
interesting.
Honest.
I just saw a tweet from Karen Pryor, who's like a professor and writer.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, everyone is different, of course, but I found my parents don't have a good sense of how serious this is. And then she writes, all news flattens after years of watching it.
Hmm.
So a lot of the older people are the ones that are camping out with the news all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's been nothing but scrolling, breaking, flashing news for years.
Yes. And so now this is just another scroll, another flash, another breaking.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this really, or just more of the show? Is this really real?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, but it is true. And Sherry lives with her mom. Mm-hmm. So we're having to think through all of that stuff. You have to think through.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Everywhere you're going, how you're going to handle this. But I just thought that was an interesting take. Like, for people that are watching news 24/7 all the time, it's hard for them to realize, no, this one actually counts. We have a little tradition on the show. It's our Monday tradition. We play a little song called I Saw the Light by David Crowder Band. I was thinking, well, is this appropriate with all the stuff that's going on? And then I realized all these psalms, all these scriptures are in the midst of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's very appropriate.
Okay.
Maybe even more so. Like, even... there's a song we sing called Praise You in the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sing it anyway. Loud and proud. This is called I Saw the Light. David Crowder Band, our Monday tradition. Here we go.
You're so aimless, life filled with sin. I would let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I saw the light.
I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. So happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Yeah. Love the fiddle.
I walked in darkness and clouds covered me. I had no idea where the way out could be. Then came the sunrise and rolled back.
night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like a blind man, then God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Saw the light.
Yeah. Woo. Yes, absolutely. David Crowder, man, I saw the light. Our Monday tradition on the show. Thank you to Fellowship Home Loans for sponsoring our podcast. Their phone number, if you're interested in refinancing your house or buying a house or whatever, they're awesome to talk to. Mike and Brian. Talk to Mike or Brian. They're great. Anyway, phone number is 800-804-SAVE if you're interested. Let's do this. Brant, three things, three hopefully helpful things we like to share. I have three reminders for right now that I hope I can share with you and hope they'll be helpful. But here's reminder number one for right now. Right now, right now, God remains surprised by nothing. He's not surprised by any of the stuff that we're going through. We're promised trouble in life. I know that. I've heard of people who abandon their faith when things get really tough. But Jesus said we'd have troubles in this life. But, here's where it gets good. He said we'd have trouble, but then he finishes that thought with, but I have overcome the world. Second big reminder, right now is a time that's really wonderfully clarifying. What I mean by that is, question, for all the talking I do, I mean, I'm on the radio, I talk about Jesus stuff all the time, but do I really believe this? This is really clarifying. Is this, where does my security really come from? Really? Because I talk, but where's my belief? Really? It's easy to talk. Shoot, I get paid for it. But do I really believe this? Where's my security really coming from? Same thing for you. Like, we can say this, maybe you're a professing believer, but is it my 401k? Is it my whatever? Where is my security really ultimately coming from? This can be really clarifying and actually really encouraging too. Some reminders. Here's one. We've talked about this right now. Right now is a great time to be a peacemaker. Hadn't thought about this much. Always thought, you know, how different times will point out different things to you if you read in the Bible. But that peacemaker thing, I always thought it meant like, I'll bring this army and this army together and we'll work it out so that we don't go to war or whatever. That's a very shallow understanding of it. It's much deeper. We've been talking about this. You have a chance in a culture that just saw a headline. American tempers are frayed. People are losing it with each other. Like, we have a time to be speakers of peace into people's lives. Like, use our words to bring peace into somebody's heart so that they're not so anxious anymore. And what a great opportunity. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, they'll be called children of God. People will know who your father is because of that. Welcome to Dilemma Street. We are hanging out here. I have on my leather coat.
Okay.
With three dragons embroidered on it.
Oh, there's another.
Yeah, because somebody showed up with two dragons. I started with one. And then one of our
people.
Yeah. Said that she had two.
So now you have three.
I have three. And I'm very cool out here. Sherry's out here.
I am. Way over here.
Social distance from each other. Very important in these times.
In these times, yes.
Adam writes, and this is a tough one, man. I don't know if I'm going to have anything to say of any value, but we'll talk about it anyway. And I'm sure Sherry will. Honestly. Adam writes, hey, Brant and Sherry, I'm here at the corner of Dilemma Street and Grace and Truth Way.
Oh, amen.
Mm. Your podcast. your street name gets an amen. It kind of puts my Electric Avenue into
into stark relief spiritually, doesn't it?
True.
Yeah.
And we're at the corner. We're over here at the corner of Dilemma Street and Not Professional Counselors Avenue.
Yes, yes.
Want to make
so
sure.
It's all intersecting. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Your podcasts make my hour plus long drive to work just a little more bearable. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
As a guest advocate at a Christian homeless shelter, we often face dilemmas in the line of grace versus truth. For example, he writes, we have a zero tolerance policy for drug and alcohol use and have recently instituted a new program which creates even more strict penalties for coming in at night under the influence. For example, a 60-day restriction on sleeping services. This has created a great deal of controversy as some of our guests who still cling to their addictions have decided we are not truly Christian, as we don't let them in no matter the circumstance. Understanding there is much more to this dilemma than I can fit in an email and that you are admittedly not professional counselors, thank you, I would love to hear your take on the grace and truth controversy. I understand that Jesus was full of the perfect amounts of grace and law, and we all err to one side or the other, so I look to your wisdom. Thanks for your insight. God bless you both in your ministry, and I continue to look forward to the podcast every time I get in the car. That is an honor, Adam.
That's sweet.
So thank you. A lot of thoughts on this, but I want to defer to Sherry first so that I can have some time to actually come up with something helpful. Maybe you'll prompt a thought.
I don't know. I hope so.
What were you saying about your uncle, though?
Well, we had a church, and my uncle still has it, that was really in the heart of the inner city, right? And he built that kind of model where it was, we're here to help in this community. And my uncle, as you know, is just the 100% most optimistic, smiley,
yes, right.
The glass is not only half full, we have plenty of milk for everybody.
Right.
Like, he's that guy.
Yeah.
And so he would always lean on that side. And so people, you know, being where we were, people would come, I need my electric bill paid, my baby doesn't have anything to eat. And there was always something, always just constant traffic in. And he's the guy to be like, oh, we're here. And my mother is the person who, and you know, she's all love, but she's also no nonsense. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you need what? Okay, well, tell me why. Well, where's the bill? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me call them and see. And those are the things that I think are also extensions of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't put the, we never put that kind of dichotomy up. Well, if I don't just all of a sudden hand you $200 for your quote unquote kid who needs food,
yep,
that doesn't mean that I don't love you. It's still an extension of love.
Yep.
If I say to you, you have to come here sober, that is not anti-grace. I think that is incredibly graceful because you have somewhere to stay. And here is the rule for staying here.
And we want you to be sober.
We want you to be sober. We want when you be here, we love you. And so that's all I can say is that's how I saw the church I grew up in, grew up spiritually in. That's how it was run, that my uncle had this.
Yeah.
Sure, everyone in. And my mom was everyone in. However, here's what this is going to look like.
A couple of things that jump out to me, too, is this dealing with people with addictions is very intense.
Yes, yes.
I remember hearing the rules about, it was on Wilson Avenue in Chicago, Jesus People. They have a huge, I think it's still there, they have a huge high rise there, and it attracts a lot of people with a lot of problems, but it's communal living, all done under the name of Jesus. It's like it is a church.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have businesses where they do roofing or they, you know, publish this or they do that. Like, have all these businesses people can get involved in. It's a church.
Mm-hmm.
But man, they have these draconian, it sounds like, rules for living there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will do this. You will not do that. You will go to, you know, lights out will be at this time. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
You will not watch this on TV in the communal area. You will not. And people were like, well, this isn't very graceful. But the people that were there was going, we have to do this.
Yeah.
This is the only way this works.
Mm-hmm.
When you live in tight community, this is the only way this works to protect the children, protect other people, for you to grow. It's like the tighter the community, the more you have to do that stuff to protect it.
Right.
So just to what Sherry is saying too, I think there's some wisdom with that. And I've known people who work with people in recovery, for instance, and there is some pretty, these are the rules, man. Parents with kids that have addictions or spouses, like, this is going to happen or else. Like, we don't have a choice because we love you.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying about love versus or grace versus truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good dichotomy either. Mm-hmm. The other thing that strikes me about Jesus being the perfect balance of grace and law, mm-hmm. Or perfect amounts, I don't know if I'd say it quite that way. Mm-hmm. I think he's all grace, and he loves the law. So I want to be that way too. Mm-hmm. When you put people under law, the Bible is very clear about that. Like in Paul's writing in Galatians, for instance, like very clear, you're not under law anymore.
Right.
So, and Paul even goes at the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. I think he talks about it in Romans, or is it 1 Corinthians? He talks about, you know, these words can be death written on stone.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's referring to the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't reject the Ten Commandments. He's just mm-hmm. saying we're not under law anymore.
Right.
And yet, the law is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So the Ten Commandments are given to us to explain how to live in community together. Mm-hmm. This is the way. So it doesn't rip us to shreds. And in mm-hmm. fact, as we break these things as a society, mm-hmm. you can see it's each one of those things opens a Pandora's box of destruction that just decimates the community. Mm-hmm. So he's giving us those things so that we can live together and make it work. So these things are wisdom. They're life-giving. They're not ungraceful.
Right.
Because we're not under law. So but if somebody is like, you have to agree with me on this behavior or that behavior, I'm like, I don't have to.
Yeah. And under law really had a connotation of my standing with God.
Right, right.
Right. And so when Jesus did that, that corrected my standing with God. That didn't mean, and now it's willy-nilly and there's no rules.
No, it's still, wisdom still gives you life.
Right.
And the opposite, it still brings you death.
Yes.
Foolishness brings death.
That's correct.
The idea that there's a spiritual enemy out there, a lot of spiritual enemies out there that want us to embrace death, mm-hmm. of course they're going to go to war with every good thing that God has ever given us. Mm-hmm. Every good piece of advice, every wisdom, if you do this, you'll die, choose life. Mm-hmm. Like, of course they're going to be like, no, you should really, hey, who's he to say that? Mm-hmm. Who's he? I mean, don't you know just as well as he does what yeah. good and evil are?
Right.
Don't you have that knowledge? Shouldn't yeah. you just go ahead and embrace that? Like, this is really hard for people to understand because they be like, well, if you're truly Christian, you'll just sign off on. No, I won't because I love you.
Yeah. And also you have to be in touch with, and a lot of people aren't, it takes some time, but if a person living with an addiction would have to be able to acquiesce to the fact that you're used to manipulating.
Oh, totally.
So when I say, well, wouldn't you? Well, it seems to me, you have to own up to the fact that that's the life that you've led, you know, because of the mm-hmm. addiction, right? And so we can't really take your word on whether this is love or whether this is grace or whether this is law or because you're battling something
totally.
That skews all of your quote-unquote reasoning.
And you can get very good at it. We all can be yeah. really good at justifications and rationalizations for mm-hmm. ourselves, but then to trot out, well, you guys aren't being Christian if you're not letting me in. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you've been drunk twice, and right. we've done this both times,
right.
and you know what the rule is, but you did it anyway. Like, we're rooting for you.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't come in. Mm-hmm. I don't expect them to understand that, but I do think a wise person who's in this sphere, somebody mm-hmm. could set me straight on this and say, no, that's not true. A wise person who's in this sphere realizes how you can get manipulated
yes.
by somebody who's like, well, this isn't very Christian. They know the words to say.
Yes, that is. Yes, they do. And it's also fair to bring up that if I am being Christian and I'm being loving, you coming in here, whether it's drunk or high or uh-huh. whatever, impacts someone else.
Everybody.
So do I love them? Do uh-huh. I love the five people that have to, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Or the person who did say, you know what, I'm not going to. Now, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, and you know better than they do. This is life and death for them.
Yes.
They're
yeah.
going to die
yeah.
unless they understand they've mm-hmm. hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And everybody else in there may have hit rock bottom. So if you break the rule for this person and they come in there and they're this way, mm-hmm. like that's not helping them, like mm-hmm. you're saying.
Right.
So I guess we're both saying we kind of get this policy yeah. without knowing all the details. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not necessarily ungraceful. It might be incredibly graceful. This is hard.
It is.
It's hard to be somebody who wants people to be wise.
Yeah.
It's much easier to just go, hey, whatever you want to do, anything you want,
yeah.
go for it. Much easier.
Kudos to the people who are doing the work. I've always been amazed at my mother's ability to just balance those things,
totally.
To be incredibly stern, quite frankly, with uh-huh. what, no, we're not doing that. And yet, very loving in the person walks away knowing, even if she didn't give you the money, because there were times she was like, no, we're not doing that.
Right.
No one walked away saying, I'm not loved. She found a way. They didn't like her decision, but she just has a way of doing that. And I think that you, when you're working in these kind of conditions, you have to be able to do that.
Yeah. So thanks for doing this, by the way, Adam. Very cool that you're doing that as somebody who's helping out. God bless your ministry and stuff. I hope this has been at least get friends you can kick this around with.
Yeah.
Your podcast people. So we say hello to you as you're driving to work.
And thank you.
We could keep talking. You said it's an hour and a half drive. We could do another
hour
15.
Oh, sure. Just for Adam.
Anyway, just to recap again, Adam, we just want to tell you.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.